Motorola brings back the Razr. Android finally gets its iMessage. Disney Plus is here, and your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the stuff that I think you should know about happening in the tech world. Plus, it's the place where I answer the questions that you send me. And believe me, you send them to me. Thanks and welcome to the show, especially if you're listening for the first time. Maybe you found me through Leo Laporte's show. Let me bring on Megan, producer Megan.
Hey.
What's up? My trusty sidekick here for loaded with questions today, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot of good questions.
Lots of good questions.
Some I've never seen before.
They come in fast and furious, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's almost a full-time job to just answer all these questions. But I do. And you know, if you write me, most of the time you will get a response as long as you're not crazy. And maybe if you're crazy, you might get one sometimes. So, you know, I was out late last night.
Yeah.
Because Megan had to do a little extra time this morning to to make sure our segment was ready for the air at 5 a.m. But I didn't stay out too late, probably like 10 o'clock, but still.
But you still have to wake up at like...
Yeah, like 3.
Yeah.
So, but I was at the, for a good reason, I went to the Motorola launch party for the Razr. And so the way it worked is we had Motorola in the studio in the morning. And then at night, you know, like 12 hours later, basically.
Oh, I mean, they
came in at 8 a.m., no, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And the party started at 7 p.m. So you're talking almost 11 hours later.
Yeah.
I went, you know, to the party. And the party was held in downtown Los Angeles at, like, you know, this new, like, arts district where a lot of stuff is seemingly to start there now. It's, like, growing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and it is really cool. The place was, I forget what it was called, like, the Container Yard. And it was, you walk, so when you got into this party, you walk in through this design that this art designer had made. It was like an installation.
Oh, wow.
And it was all these refrigerators filled with ice, but like sculptures of like old Moto Razr phones and like just general Motorola stuff. It was really odd.
Huh.
It was almost like a haunted house kind of walking through. So you get through
there. So you were scared.
It was a little apprehensive. We had to wait out line for like... outside in line for like half an hour.
Oh.
And everyone's like, why do we have to wait? This party, you know, it's not like an open party.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why, because they only let like 10 or 15 people in this little area at once to like look at these art exhibits.
They didn't want it to melt.
Yeah. Well, it was in refrigerators. And then you go outside and the party was actually outside in the middle of this thing. Diplo was there playing tunes.
Diplo was there.
Yeah. I listened to his songs.
What?
I don't really know Diplo.
I know Diplo.
He does a lot of like, you know,
EDM.
Collaborations.
Yeah.
He's not like his own, like, you know, Justin Bieber. I knew that song.
No, he doesn't.
He does a lot of claps.
He does claps, but he's also a DJ. Like,
yeah.
He has his own.
And he was great DJ. Great DJ.
So cool.
But the way they launched this phone is kind of ironic because it was all of a sudden Diplo came on and they introduced him or whatever. And then there was like this whole thing, this garage that opened up to all these smoke and mirrors. And that's what they showed the phones on, which is kind of ironic for a phone. You don't usually want to associate smoke and mirrors with your product, but it worked.
Yeah.
And it was very impressive. I will say that the early reaction to this product, and we went hands-on with it, now a lot of people have seen it, is that it's very cool. They did a great job with the foldable design on the screen, unlike some other phones we've seen out there that just kind of were almost a proof of concept.
Right.
But let me go through some of the specs here. So it's a, you know, they kept kind of the phone the same way as you remember back when you had it in like 2005 or whatever. But now when you open it up, the entire thing is a screen that is a foldable screen. So it's a 6.2-inch foldable plastic OLED panel. It is running Android 9, which I was a little disappointed at because you would want Android 10.
Right.
I think Android just needs to do away with the versions and just focus on like if it has the current software updates. Because realistically, the difference between 9 and 10 for most people is not a big deal. But it's still just, it's a way for tech reporters to just be like, oh, this phone is already outdated.
Exactly. They're already a year behind.
Right. But the way that Android works versus iPhone is just not the same.
Different.
So let's just drop the version numbers for Android and just focus on, does this phone get current software updates? Because most of what you can accomplish on an Android versus iPhone is done through app updates, not the main software update. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Like you can add like any feature you want basically to an Android phone by just downloading an app and it'll change kind of how that phone works.
Okay.
Now certain core features, maybe you need the new operating system. Anyway, so the design is really cool. It's got a fingerprint sensor, which is nice. It's got USB-C on the bottom. Again, the screen inside is really cool. There's also a screen on the outside, which is 2.7 inches. And they said that they made sure they worked on this screen a lot so that it's not going to fail and nothing can get behind it, like little specks of dust that will take down the entire phone.
Well, that's good.
I will say that the open and close mechanism is definitely not as simple as the original. So my wife went with me to the party last night. And by the way, she does a great job with like holding things in her hand.
Oh, really?
She was a little hand model. She was like, oh, shoot a quick video of me. She wanted to take a video.
She asked, she was like, can you shoot a video
for her dad?
For my Instagram?
No, for her dad. She wanted to send him a video. And so I watched her do this, and like she actually did a great job of like showing off the phone, whatever.
So we're going to have to bring her in.
She may be featured in a future segment.
Yeah.
So she did notice when she picked up, she said, wow, this is actually very impressive. But she did notice that it is a little bit tougher to open and close with one hand than the original. That's because it's heavier and it's just different.
That's a great point.
Good observation.
Yeah. I didn't actually get to hold it yesterday.
See? Oh, and I told her this too. I actually mentioned you and Luis. I said, it's funny because she didn't touch it either. And I was like, Lynn, get in there. Like, go touch the phone. Like, pick it up, feel it. And I said, so many times you go to these tech events where I have my producer and my photographer, we're so busy collecting everything and getting what we need.
Yeah, we never touch it.
You actually don't touch the products.
Yeah. My sister asked me about the iPhone when we went to the event. She was like, did you hold it? And I was like, no.
So always remember, like, just get in there. Like, just you know, grab it.
Yeah, and, but, like, I'm working. I can't be like, Rich, give me 20 minutes to play with
the phone. Happens to me, too. Like, sometimes I will
forget.
I will go through my motions of what I want to do for air, and then I'll forget to, like, actually just kind of play for a little bit and just see how this thing works. So it's one of those things you just have to remember. And she was like, oh, my gosh, you're right.
Did she like it?
She loved it. She thought it was really great. She said it's going to be tough to compete with the iPhone,
right?
Obviously, but she was very impressed. And I think that's the... I haven't read any of the reviews, the early reviews, but it seems like people are impressed with what Motorola's done, and I think that's a good thing.
That's cool.
It's not a phone for specs. This thing has an older processor. It's not as fast as the flagship's Snapdragon. It also doesn't have the best camera. It's just an average camera. Mm-hmm. What else? It's exclusive to Verizon. It's going to be $1,500, so it's super expensive. The one question she asked, which I thought was pretty good, was, is it going to come in colors? And right now, the party line is that it's just black, whatever color we saw yesterday, that black.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're coming out with colors.
I think they alluded last night that there's going to be some fun colors. And I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Again, and you can close the phone to end a call, which is really neat. So, is this a major win for Motorola? Probably too early to tell, but I do think that they did a nice job with this. They did their homework. Is it the phone for everyone? Probably not. Is it going to make people switch from iPhone? Probably not. But is it something that when people walk into Verizon and if they do some sort of special on it, maybe get the price down? Or I also see it as kind of like rich executives that want like a phone that fits in their suit pocket. Like it's a little bit more comfortable. Yeah. It's heavy, but it's a nice feel. And so I think it's going to appeal to those types of people and anyone who wants to make like a statement, like someone who doesn't need the craziest, flashiest phone or even an iPhone. This is going to appeal to.
That's why I already ordered it. Just kidding.
I know you love your iPhone, so I know you're not going to get it.
Okay.
That's the story with the Motorola Razr.
Okay. Let's start the first question of the day from Alexander. He asks, I was wondering, what are your thoughts? Oh, sorry. I watched your review on AirPods Pro when they were released, and I was wondering, what are your thoughts on them now that you've owned them for a few weeks? Are you still using them, or is there something you prefer better for gym/travel?
Great question, and I like the follow-up. What's his name again?
Alexander.
Alexander. So here is the thing about the AirPods. They are great, but you have to be comfortable with two things. And my original review kind of stands, and I've been using them for a while. Like I've taken them on 4 flights now. I have taken them to the gym several times. Mm-hmm. They actually have fallen out of my ears at the gym. The original AirPods have never fallen out of my ears once. Actually, that's not true. They did once on a treadmill, and it almost went into the groove, and I had to pull it out. It actually did go into the groove. These fell out of my ears a couple times, especially when you get sweaty. They definitely start to want to fall out. And when you're kind of bending over, doing a stretch, something like that, like on the treadmill, not really an issue. But I do notice myself pushing them into my ears more. So my overall recommendation is go with the regular AirPods unless you need the noise canceling and you want to consolidate your packing. Mm-hmm. When I pack for a flight, I take a big pair of noise canceling headphones and my AirPods. I like the idea of the AirPods Pro because it's just one thing. But I will say there's a lot of pressure in your ears no matter what when you have these things in noise-canceling mode. That's just the reality. I know Apple says they did all this work on them and tried to make that not happen, and I feel like it is less, but it's still there.
Okay.
So it's one of these things that it's, and this is the tough part about earbuds, is that how do you really try these things on? I mean, the best you could do is buy them like return them if they don't work for you. Yeah, I mean, they don't let you try them on at the store.
No.
Like, I don't even think Apple lets you do that. So you can't see how these things are until you take them home, you put them in, and you use them for a week or two, and you got to see what the return policy is.
Yeah.
And it's not bad if you return them because they're just going to replace the little tip on them.
They should make like dummies that you can put on in the store. They're just like plastic.
They should.
Just to like see the feel.
With the little tips that pop off. So you just
you don't know
put them in.
You pay $250 to
them. Yeah.
Yeah. I am curious about the return policy.
Kind of an expensive thing. I'm sure you can return them. And, you know, I mean, you can return like a computer to Apple Store.
Yeah.
So they might charge a restocking fee. I don't know. But
and they might be like hesitant when you try to return them. You know, they're like, oh, okay. You know, like, you got to deal with that.
They like give you a little wink. They're like, did you just try these on? Yeah. Okay. Did you just need to take a flight? But hey, you know, I mean, it's at the end of the day, I don't think Apple is hurting for cash. So I think you'll be okay if you truly get them and you don't like them. I mean, they're $250. So return them. If you don't like them, go with the regular AirPods.
Yeah.
So we talk about iMessage all the time, and iMessage is one of the primary reasons why people love the iPhone. It's not the only reason, but it's definitely one of those contributing factors.
The blue bubbles.
And it's funny because our car wash guy here, Manny, you know, I get my car washed all the time, he texted me this morning, hey, do you need a wash? And I noticed
it showed
up blue.
Yeah.
And so I was like, Manny, I'm like, well, did you get the phone? Did you get an iPhone? He's like, oh, and he explained to me that he used to have an iPhone, but then his daughter would use his tablet, the iPad, and all of his iMessages would come through. So he turned off iMessage, and he actually got her a tablet, her own tablet, and so now he's back to the iMessage. So, anyway, but it's just one of those conversations that you would never normally have except in iPhone world, you know?
Right, right.
Well, anyway, I mention this because Google is saying, you know what, carriers, we are sick and tired of waiting for you to make a solution that is equivalent to iMessage for Android, and we're just going to do it ourselves. So now Google is turning on what's called RCS on their Messages app on Android, which means all Android users are now getting their version of iMessage as of today.
Wow.
Which is huge for the Android world. Huh. So what does this mean? This means that you can now send and receive text over Wi-Fi or mobile data, which is huge. You can send and receive high-resolution photos and videos.
Oh, wow.
So no longer when you send a video from one Android to another is it going to come up totally pixelated and weird and tiny and crazy and useless. And people can now see when you've read your messages and when you've received your messages. Again, all like iMessage. Huge. Better group chats. You can name your groups. You can add and remove people from groups and see if people have seen the latest messages. So this is all rolling out starting today in the United States. If you have the Messages app on your Android, which is sometimes pre-installed, but if you don't, if you have a Samsung, I don't think it's pre-installed. So you go into the Google Play and download Android Messages.
Okay.
And yes, this is a ploy to get you to use Google's messaging app, but it's basically their standard SMS app.
Okay.
But now you have RCS. And if you want, you can go into your settings on this app and it says enable chat. They call it chat. And it's not working on my phone just yet, but this is a rollout.
Okay.
So it's going to be by the end of the year, everyone's going to have it. They can't do everything overnight.
I wish they chose a fun name.
Chat?
RCS is...
because that's a standard. So this is a standard that all the carriers are supposedly adhering to worldwide.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like iMessage. You know, they can't call it something fun like
Got
Google
it.
Message. Oh. So the other thing to know about this is now it actually makes the divide between iPhone and Android
More
even
intense.
Bigger.
Yep.
Because Android to Android will be fine. iPhone to iPhone will be fine. Android to iPhone is still going to be a mess because guess what? The iPhone does not support RCS, nor will it anytime soon ever in the history of mankind.
Yeah,
I don't think they ever will. So it's now full-on war.
It's a full-on...
But anyway, if you're on Android and you have Android friends, you can finally... let's say you're a couple and you have Android, finally you get to experience life kind of the way iPhone gets
That's
to
great.
Experience, and which is huge.
It just always makes me think of BBM. And I never had a BlackBerry, and I remember all my friends could BBM each other, and I was like, I'm not part of that party.
BBM was iMessage before iMessage came along.
Totally.
All right, Megan, what do you got?
Okay, so this next question's from Lisa, and she's very unhappy with her Galaxy Note 10. She said she always has problems with screen pressure when she's typing. She's had to replace it twice under insurance, so she's done. She says, I mostly use for word processing, accessing Drive, no gaming, some videos, very little actual phone calls. I don't like Apple phones, so what would be the best replacement for my Note 8 in your opinion? How about the Pixel 4? Or is there a phone I'm not familiar with? I'm with Verizon.
I would recommend the Pixel 4 XL. Mm-hmm. Or she didn't mention pictures in there at all, huh? So if she's not mentioning photos, because Pixel 4 XL is great for a couple reasons. It's got fantastic software. It's a great overall phone. It has okay battery life. It's not the best, but it'll be fine. And it's got a lot of nice little features, and it's kind of pure Google. So it's just overall a very nice device. If you want something a little bit less expensive, I would check out the OnePlus 7T. But I do believe that phone is exclusive to T-Mobile in the stores. But I think if you buy it online, it can be unlocked. She said she's on Verizon.
Verizon.
Yeah. So I think you have to go online to buy that phone. Mm-hmm. So, and the advantage of the 7T is you're still going to get great software. You're going to get a battery that lasts very long. And the camera is just not going to be as good as the Pixel. So
okay.
But she's going to save a lot of money. That phone, I think, is $599 versus the Pixel, which I think is like $799. But the Pixel is going to be discounted over Black Friday.
What about the Pixel 3?
I would not recommend the Pixel 3.
Oh, okay.
No, because it's too old at this point. Like, Pixels don't really have a long... I mean, they do, but they... At this point, like, it's... What phone does she have?
She has the Galaxy Note 10.
Which is weird, because it seems like she is giving up on that, and that's a brand new phone. So
wait,
it must be...
it's confusing. She goes, I'm happy with my Galaxy Note 10, and then she also calls it her Note 8 later on. So maybe it's a Note 8.
Oh, okay. So I think it's a Note 8.
Okay.
So I think those are the two phones that I would recommend for her. I think that she'll be happy with either one of them. I prefer the Pixel just for the pictures. But again, she didn't mention pictures. Like, some people, when they email me, they say pictures are most important.
Yeah.
She didn't say that. So that means she's more interested in games and all the other little things you can do on your phone. Pictures are not necessarily... Like, you know if pictures are your number one priority. Like, if I was saying I want out of a phone, I want the best pictures, the best video, and the best apps, and the best video content creation possibilities. So I think those two phones will be great. So
cool.
Look into those for sure. You know, Megan, this week was a big week. You are a Disney fan.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them out there.
There are so many.
Disney Plus.
You're a fan.
Launched this
week.
No, I've never been a Disney fanatic.
Lover. Okay.
No, never.
Okay.
I do appreciate what Disney does.
Yeah.
I've been to the parks. I have seen the movies.
Yeah.
But I'm not what you would call I don't have one of those AP things on the back of my car.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
The annual pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not want to put that on my car when I had one.
But do you have one? Oh, you have one.
I do from 3 years ago, but then they changed the pass to be so much more expensive, so I stopped.
Okay. Do they give you that when you...
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why people have it. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, Disney Plus launched this week in the US, Canada, the Netherlands, and it has about 500 movies, 7,500 episodes of TV shows from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and more. It's got some new stuff, but mostly the old catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna slowly but surely bring in a lot more new stuff. You can watch all of The Simpsons. There is, for the first time, Star Wars. First 7 Star Wars movies are available in 4K Ultra HD for the first time.
That's wild.
All available in this format. That's kind of cool. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Toy Story 1, 2, 3. And 3 are also available in 4K HD. So it works on pretty much every device, but I've been getting a lot of emails about this because there are some exceptions. The notable one is Vizio.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Disney Plus app for Vizio TVs. And also, people said, oh, well, no big deal. I'll just Chromecast it to my TV because Vizio TVs have Chromecast built in. And didn't work.
Aww.
And the reason why is because the version of Chromecast that Vizio is using is not high enough to authenticate for what Disney wants.
Oh.
So that's kind of a bummer.
Can they use
there is a workaround.
Okay.
You can use AirPlay But you have to have an iPhone or an iPad to do that.
Okay.
So if you had an Android plus Vizio and you wanted a Chromecast to your TV, it wouldn't work.
What about a Fire TV stick?
Well, okay. So, but that's different. That's not built into your TV.
Oh, yeah.
When people buy a smart TV, they get used to kind of using the apps on screen.
Right.
And this is why I never recommend using the smart of your smart TV. Now, unless you're on a major platform like Roku, right?
Then you're TCLs, safe.
And you're safe most of the time. Sometimes there are some distinctions, but most of the time you're okay. But this is why generally I recommend a third-party device like an Apple TV or a Fire TV stick or a Roku player, because that way you always get the latest and greatest no matter what happens. So sometimes these TVs are not as updated as the separate streaming devices. So anyway, the other thing to know about Disney Plus is you can get it for free if you have a Verizon Unlimited plan. A lot of people have been emailing me about that. It's pretty simple. You just go into the Verizon app, you look under your entertainment under add-ons, and you add it. And the trick there, it's not like Verizon's just being kind to you and giving this. They are. But the trick is that once you're set up there, next year, when it renews, it will be
charged
on your Verizon bill.
Oh.
And so that's kind of like, and Verizon gets recurring subscription. They get a cut of that. So the more people that they can get on their plan that also say, oh, well, I'm not going to cancel Verizon because look at, I get free Apple Music, I get free Disney, so I'm not going to cancel. But after the next year, when that starts to kick in, that $6.99, Verizon gets a tiny portion of
and
that.
And then Apple Music, is that?
That's unlimited forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Wow, Verizon really has a bunch of like...
Well, AT&T does something similar. So does T-Mobile.
Why?
T-Mobile gives you Netflix. AT&T has Spotify for free. Depends on your plan. It all depends on your plan.
Yeah.
It's obviously on the higher end plans as well. But anyway, my kids have been... Is Disney Plus for you? My kids have been watching... They watched Aladdin the first two nights. I feel like for $6.99 a month, it really pays for itself. You rent one movie a month on Apple TV and that's $5.99. So for $6.99, you're getting the whole back catalog, as long as there's enough to keep you interested. You know, and I think Disney will... I'm worried because they put that whole catalog out there like at the beginning.
Oh.
So it's kind of like you get kind of like spoiled.
Totally.
But
I'm excited. I feel like your kids now can watch like the really classic TV shows of like the 2000s that aren't on Disney Channel anymore. Like,
right.
Stuff like
Raven.
That's So Raven, like
right.
That was what I grew up with. And now, like, if you don't really, I sometimes have seen Disney Channel now and I'm like, the shows are just
very advanced.
Yeah. So it's cool that you
I don't even know.
I mean, it's just
different.
It's just different, but it's cool. There's a lot out there and yeah, I mean, you can kind of get spoiled with it, but
I think for families, it's going to be for $6.99 a month. It's such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think for adults who are into Star Wars that signed up for Mandalorian, and then when that's over, they may find that they're kind of over it because, you know, there's only so much there for adults.
But I'm assuming they're going to keep cranking out new series.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, well, but
it's not really like centered towards, you know, an adult crowd, obviously.
Well, I think they're trying to do that with the Mandalorian and the Star Wars and the Marvel stuff.
And the National Geographic.
Yeah, which yawner for me.
It's my favorite channel next to Bravo.
I'm sure people love that stuff. So
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. And some people might wonder if you have cable and you've got Disney Now, which is their companion app for a cable subscription. You can sign in using your, you know, streaming or cable login. I did look, and it seems like a lot of the shows like Vampirina and Puppy Dog Pals and all these little shows that are currently on TV, seems like the new episodes are going to the Disney Now app, and then kind of like last season and before are going to Disney Plus.
Got it.
So it depends how much you
want.
That's
like Hulu and Netflix.
Exactly. Will your kids notice? Who knows?
Yeah.
So, but the reality is, how many of these subscriptions can you sustain?
It's crazy.
I know that I'm going to cancel my AT&T TV Now, which
okay.
is now going up to $60 a month. It started out as $35 when I first subscribed. Now it's up to $60. And, you know, I just don't use it. And so that's going away.
So what will you have then?
I'll have Netflix,
okay.
Prime Now, which is or Prime Video from Amazon, Netflix. I'll have Disney Plus, and I'm still subscriber to YouTube Premium, which is $12.99 a month,
uh-huh.
which also gives me YouTube Music. But I may drop that as well. I just hate seeing ads on YouTube. So I don't know if that's worth $12.99 a month, though, or not, because I don't watch that much YouTube.
I just always, when I get those ads, I always click, if it's, an age ad, I just always click it, and then it's done.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I just, whatever.
Yeah, but I feel like they're collecting so much data on you. You know, I mean,
make it up.
Oh, if you make it up.
I'm
then that's kind of,
Between 60 and 75, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, this next question comes from Gina. How do you upload Android contacts to a computer for editing?
It's funny how many people ask about contacts. And my recommendation is always to keep your contacts in the cloud, whether that's iCloud or, you know, Google Cloud. But I've gotten a lot of people, when they switch phones, they realize their contacts are stored on the phone itself. And the main thing you want to do is go into your contacts on any platform, whether it's Android or iOS, and make sure that your contacts are being saved to either iCloud or Google.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I recommend. And to find your contacts that she uploaded on an Android phone, generally those go right into Google. So just go to contacts.google.com from a desktop computer, and you should see all of your contacts right there. If you don't, they may be stored, if she has a Samsung, did she say what kind of phone she has?
She just said she has an Android.
Okay. She might have a Samsung, and in some cases, they are stored in kind of your Samsung account. So you can also sign in there and see if they're in there. But either way, I would say on like a majority of the Android phones, they're generally stored in some sort of cloud storage. You just need to figure out which cloud storage they're in.
Cool.
And Apple this week introduced the elusive 16-inch MacBook Pro. This computer has been rumored and speculated for so long. I'm glad they finally got it out there. And it's the computer that I want.
I know. You were going to get it.
I was going to get it. Good thing I didn't remember. I was going to get a new computer a while back.
Yeah.
And I was just going to settle for the 15-inch.
Now you have a Christmas present from yourself.
It's going to be tough because I just spent all this money on the iPhone. So I don't think I'm in a position right now to purchase this. But you never know. Maybe, I mean, okay.
You never know.
The spoiler alert is that it starts at $2,400. And of course, I want to get more hard drive or more SSD, whatever you call them at this point. And that's going to make it even more expensive because I want at least a terabyte. This can go up to 8 terabytes of storage the first time.
Wow.
Eight terabytes. 8 terabytes of storage.
Wow.
That is unheard of for a laptop.
I guess if you're making like movies.
Yeah, you need that.
Then you need it.
And that's exactly who this is for. Apple says it's for developers, photographers, filmmakers, scientists, music producers, and anyone who relies on a Mac to create their life's best work, aka what I would say is this is a creator's device.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the device. If you're flying to Omaha and watching Netflix, that's not what this is for.
No.
This is not for checking email or an iPad. This is for creating content, and that's really who this is for. Now, the main thing that they've changed on this is the keyboard. Everyone complained about the keyboard, including myself. My MacBook keyboard, MacBook Pro, is just terrible. It's literally when I'm doing my emails, it's so bad that I make more mistakes typing than I. I do love
my MacBook Air keyboard.
Oh, so much better.
When I use it, I'm like, oh, this is.
Your keyboard is a little bit better because you have a newer MacBook Pro, but mine is the one where they didn't improve anything. It's like the first generation of this mechanism, and it was terrible. So now they say it's totally redesigned. It's got more travel, which travel means how far the key presses down.
Yeah.
And old keyboards, you know, had a ton of travel.
All new about keyboards, that travel.
Yeah. And it's got better speaker system. It's got touch bar, touch ID, and the trackpad. It also has longer battery life, and you can really spec this thing out with... Oh my gosh. 8 terabytes of storage, 64 gigs of memory. I mean, you can really make this thing awesome.
Yeah.
It also says that the keyboard is quieter, which was a huge deal because when I'm in meetings and stuff, my keyboard is so loud. It's almost borderline
embarrassing. You sound aggressive when you're typing. You're like, I'm just typing.
Starts at $2,399. You can spec it all the way up to, I think, $6,000.
Wow.
You might want to get the Apple Care on that one if you do that. Now, that's the good of this computer. Here's the bad. It still has a boring, terrible webcam, 720p.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
So
the iPhone webcam or front-facing camera is now 4K. This thing has, you're spending all this money, you get a terrible webcam.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
And it also has last year's Wi-Fi, so it doesn't have the new Wi-Fi 6.
Oh.
It still has the old style Wi-Fi, which, you know, it's like those aren't deal breakers, but it's just like, come on, Apple.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is from Jason. I have Microsoft OneDrive and I had some storage that expired. Is there a way to add storage without paying a monthly subscription for it?
I don't think so. I mean, this is, I think it used to be back in the day when you got all these cloud services. Like, it was Dropbox and OneDrive. They were giving you storage like it was
forever.
Yeah. No, well, not forever.
Oh, so for they like would, 3 years.
They would give you storage, and then I think they slowly but surely pulled it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be OneDrive. I believe when it first came out, you got a terabyte of storage.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I think that was the case. I'm going to go to mine and see what I have. Because I was an early sign up for this thing, and I remember it was like one of these things where you just got a ton of storage. So I now have 5 gigs. I'm pretty sure at one point in my life with OneDrive, I had a terabyte, but that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Dropbox. Back in the day, used to get, I think it was a lot, and used to be able to earn by referring friends. And of course, that's all been pulled back now. So mm-hmm. now, basically, they all wanted to get you in there because the more stuff that you dump into these online drives...
Yeah, then you're stuck.
You become attached to it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the storage goes like, okay, well, your promotional 1 terabyte has run out. Now you got to pay us.
Now it's like $40.
Yeah. And so for crazy. Google Drive, I pay 10 bucks a month for a terabyte, which...
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I get 2 terabytes at this point. I can't remember. But it's enough where it's like, okay, it's kind of annoying, but it's also, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, a hard drive is really cheap compared to that. Oh, wow. I have a lot of pictures in OneDrive.
Yeah, but a hard drive you can lose.
Hard drive you can lose. I mean, theoretically, you could lose cloud, but chances are...
That's on them, though, right?
Well, yeah,
and
but
then,
it's on
and
you.
Then, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And then it's really gone.
Yeah.
Do you back up to the cloud and to a hard drive?
I actually, right now, no.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't have my NAS set up, so I need to do that. I have a little bit of spring cleaning. That's a network-attached storage.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a hard drive in my house that's a mini server.
Oh.
But ever since I moved my office around, I disconnected it, and it's all complicated because I just need to clean up everything. Like, it's just got, like, fragments of stuff, and, like, I need a text.
And when you eventually get a new
cleansing.
Computer...
Yeah, that's when I'm going to do it, which I know. It's one of those things that, like, you just put on the back burner every weekend.
You do it for, like, your half birthday.
Yeah, it's just too much. I'm celebrating my half birthday
or
with
for,
this.
Yeah, or, like, your, you know.
We'll see.
I'd say Christmas, but
no,
that's coming up soon, yeah. So.
Cool new feature in Google Maps that helps you speak where you need to go to someone that is in a foreign language. So let's say you're in Japan and you want to go to a restaurant.
Okay.
Well, have you ever seen the names of some of these restaurants and some of the streets in Japan? How would you say that to someone? And I've been on the corner where I say to the person, like, oh, this is where I want to go. And I point and they look at me like, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know. They just look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
And I'm like, you can't read what's on my screen right here.
Help me out, please.
So here's the new feature. Google Maps is kind of merging, not merging, but they're mixing in a little bit of Google Translate. So now... Your phone will speak out a place's name and address in the local language. All you have to do is tap the new speaker button, which will show up next to the name of a place or address, and Google Maps will say it out loud. So I can go up to you if you're in Japan and you spoke, or let's say France, and you spoke French.
And not English.
And not English. And I would go up to you, even though I speak English, I would hold my phone up and I would press a little speaker button next to the restaurant I want to go to.
Yeah.
In France. And I'd be like, and it would be like, Parlez-vous français?
Yeah,
this
is
the restaurant, and it's on Le, you know,
yeah.
Le Peach Street.
And, Le Peach.
And you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's right. And you'd speak to me in some...
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I'd be like, wait, I don't understand what you're saying. So how does that... But you would basically point me in the right direction.
Got it. Okay.
That
that's really funny.
So the speech-to-text technology automatically detects what language your phone is using. So... For instance, if your phone is set to English, but you're in Tokyo, it knows like, hey, let's read this out in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Because it's doing that. So anyway, it's rolling out this month on Android and iOS in Google Maps, and it will have support for 50 languages. So I think it's a cool little feature
for
travel.
I think it's cool. It is funny, though. I went to a wedding once in France, and it was like French people and then a bunch of American people. It was like split in two.
Mm-hmm.
And the American people, I mean, I was with my aunt, so she was French, so I was good. But all of these American people were walking around the wedding with their translator things, and all the French people were saying to each other, like in French, like, oh, the American, like kind of making fun of it.
Fun of them,
but you know, hey, like if it helps you like communicate, do it.
Yeah.
If you don't know French, like it'll save you. Or
if you don't know French, you know nothing.
Yeah, you know nothing. I don't know French, so I shouldn't be talking. Okay, so this next question comes from Karen. My triplet grandkids are gamers, and grandpa thinks VR is the next step for them. Will this be okay? And if so, which one do you suggest for them? One of our grandkids has autism. Are there any problems there with VR? She also said she has your books. She's not going to buy anything without checking your, so she wants your opinion, obviously, before they buy.
Did she say how old the grandkids are?
No.
Okay. So I think
10 years old.
Okay. Cause that's what I thought was interesting about this.
Yeah.
Is the VR thing. Like, my kid begs me every day to do VR. He's 8. And from everything I've seen, you should not do VR unless you're 13 and up.
Okay.
So I don't recommend teens. All these parents that email me about VR, I always say, don't do it. So when you're under a certain age, your brain is still forming. Mm-hmm. Things are still happening. And there's a reason why these big companies don't recommend VR for kids under 13. I'm not sure what that exact reason is, but I'm going to kind of stand by that. And I don't know if kids necessarily need to be in VR at that young age.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that kids want to do it. And of course it is the cool thing and it's very awesome. And you can go to places like these VR setups in the mall and stuff, and they will allow younger kids to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the end of the day, it's your choice.
Like Dreamscape?
I believe so. I think you can be 10 and up for that.
Oh, weird that you do have to be.
I think there's a certain age. I don't quote me on that, but I believe there are certain ages for these things. Oh. And I'm not sure if there's any physical proof or whatever, or like research that they've done that says like this is the age, but I think it probably has to do something with the eyes and the brain. But
oh, interesting.
I don't know.
I've never heard this.
But that's,
that makes sense.
That's generally my consensus is everything I've seen is 13. So just wait till they're 13.
Yeah.
And these kids have enough screens in front of their face. So do they really need one that's like right like at the eye level, like burning into their retinas? Like probably not.
No.
So just,
does it burn your retina?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The screen's right there.
It's right there. Yeah, it's not good.
It's kind of. So that's my recommendation. And all these cheap little VR things that you see.
Just get them a bike.
Yeah. These VR things that you see at the mall that you put your iPhone in and stuff, there's no good iPhone VR, by the way. So just just don't bother. It's a waste of money.
Is that when you stick your phone inside of the...
Yeah. And even on Android, they have that. And even on Android, they've gotten out of that. Because Google and Samsung used to make a big deal out of their VR headsets when they launched their phones. Last two launches, they didn't say a word. So clearly it's not right now. It's not a growth place.
Yeah.
I think I do believe in VR. I think it's amazing. And I think it's going to change the fabric of our world once again, like Facebook did and like internet did, but it's just not there right now.
It's not the time.
But I think that companies like Oculus and stuff, they're trying to make it better. Mm-hmm. What did I do? I did that
Hollow Rider.
I mean, it still almost like made me sick to my stomach.
Thinking
for like
about
hours.
It makes you sick.
Yeah. And so it's getting there. It's not there.
Yeah.
And I do go out there and try it because it's awesome, but it's like Dreamscape is the best that I've seen. There's one called The Void, which I haven't tried, and there's another one they're trying to get me to try it at a mall, and I haven't tried that one either.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, you have to go with like a bunch of people, and like it takes like some time to set it. You can go by yourself, but it's kind of more fun to go with a little group.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about something that is really cool because I talked about this on the Leo Laporte radio show. But I just want to talk about it here, too, because I am just obsessed with this. It's an app called Libby, L-I-B-B-Y, and I thought this was too good to be true. I saw an article in 9to5 Mac, and the writer was talking about how Apple Books needs integration with the U.S. Public Library, just like the Kindle has. And I'm like, wait, what? So I download this app called Libby, and I was like, I don't have a library card, so I got to go sign up, and I got to get one. Maybe I'll just use my kid's library card. Well, it turns out you can just pop in your phone number, and somehow it signed me up for the LA Public Library. And it seems like they have these deals with public libraries all across the U.S. So wherever you're listening, you can try this out. Download the app, you get a library card through the app, and next thing you know, you can search for books like you would at the library. But the brilliant part is that not only can you read these books on the app or listen to their audiobook on the app, you can send the book to your Kindle.
That's so cool.
Which, do you have a Kindle?
No. Well.
Have you ever used one?
You gave me an old one. I gave it to my dad.
Okay, so you never have used
but
a Kindle.
But I can try to use it.
Should try linking it up.
I should.
We're going to do a story on this for KTLA because
I was telling
my wife last night, I was telling her mom, she came over to watch the kids.
Yeah.
And she's an avid reader. And I was like, do you know you can get like books for free from the library? She's like, I know. Of course I know that. I'm like, no, for like free two-year Kindle.
Yeah. I was telling my mom about it too. And I was like,
what was her reaction?
She was like, wait, that's so cool. You have to set it up on my phone. And I'm like,
And I'm telling you, it's one click once you set up. And by the way, this Libby app, usually when you think of apps like this, you're like, they're clunky, they're terrible. The way this app is set up, it's a really cool app. You search in like good terms. It like kind of talks to you almost in chat style. Anyway, so the main downside of this is that you don't get the book immediately, especially if it's a popular book. You have to wait just like you would at the public library for it to be in stock.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's digital, they don't just give out unlimited copies.
But with the public library, you have to keep going back,
no,
right?
I think nowadays you just put yourself on a wait list and they email you when it's ready. So it's the same thing here, except you'll get an alert on your phone.
Right.
So I've put a bunch of books on my wait list. So I guess the trick here is that you just have to build your catalog of what you want to read. And as they come available, get them, put them to your Kindle. You get them for 21 days, like a normal library loan.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm assuming there's some way to renew for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So again, I just bought two books this month for $25. Both books are available on there. One was available instantly,
mm-hmm.
and I could have saved $12.99. The other one is a little bit longer. It's called The Body, which, by the way, fantastic book.
Oh, I need to
read it.
If it's available. It's probably not.
It's not available. It's probably one of the most popular books right now.
Okay.
But I was reading my kids and my wife all the highlights because it goes through every body part and explains the like how it works and what all this stuff and the history of it. Not the history of the part, but like how doctors discovered how things work in the body. And so I was reading all the highlights that I've made in this book to my kids and my wife, and we were all just like loving it.
Uh-huh.
So like it's just such a good book. So anyway, Libby, Libby, check it out, especially if you have a Kindle, link them up, and you can thank me later when you're reading your first book for free.
Yeah, I'm literally trying to find a book that's available.
Okay, do we have time for one more quick question, Megan?
Okay, so this is from Zoraida.
Oh, no more time. We ran out.
Okay.
Just kidding. All right, quick question.
So basically she's looking for a digital frame where she can send pictures directly to the frame without using a flash drive. I thought you mentioned one on your show, but I cannot find the story. I have seen one on my feed called Skylight. Mm. Not sure if it's the same. Please let me know.
It's on her feed. So she clearly was searching for things. And then all of a sudden Facebook is like, we got someone.
Yeah.
Send her an ad.
Yeah, send her an ad.
She's looking at picture frames.
It's so funny.
So I don't know anything about Skylight. I've never heard of it, but in this one, I'm looking it up right now. It's a touchscreen photos frame that you can update by email from anywhere. And it looks fine, but I think that the one you want is from the company I last tried. It's called Nix Play. And it used to be there were so many of these frames, but now it's kind of like they're a dying breed.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like the best, if you this is a specific ask for something that is USB, right? She wants a flash drive. But the one that I recommend is just get a Google Home.
No, she said without using a flash drive.
Oh, what is she?
She wants to send pictures directly to the frame without using a flash drive.
Oh.
So from like a phone.
Oh my gosh. Oh gosh, I totally misread this. I thought she wanted a flash drive so she can pop it in the back of the frame and bypass the cloud.
Oh, no.
So if she just wants a frame, the best one out there is from Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Google Home.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Now it's called the Google Nest. Google Nest Hub. So
that's what I have, but I actually don't show pictures on it.
Wait, do you?
Yeah, I got it from CES.
Oh, you don't show your pictures on it?
No. But oh it's also God. This small. Like the screen
yeah,
is not.
It's great.
Okay, I'm going to.
Oh my God, you have to set up your pictures on
I
it.
Know.
It's amazing. It's the best feature.
What am
feature.
I doing?
My sister just got one and she loves it. And she actually got the Max, which means we can video chat. So I actually meant to do that last night with
oh,
her.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, so get the Google Nest Hub. The best part about it, it's $129. It's going to be cheaper over Black Friday. So just wait until Black Friday to purchase this. It'll be on sale everywhere. It's $129. I expect it to be $99 for the holidays.
Oh, wow.
$99. You download the Google Photos app on your phone, and the best part is that you can select the photos you want, or you can have Google Photos curate the best pictures that you take and put them on the frame automatically. It's so great. It's my favorite feature. When it was my kid's birthday and we had a birthday party, I just made an automatic album of Tanner. So
aww.
Every picture that showed up on all the screens throughout my house were all of my kid through the ages.
Uh-huh.
And it was super simple to set up. And Google picks the best. They try to pick the best pictures that people are smiling in. They're well lit. Not always perfect, but
yeah.
You can easily
it
do
it. It tries.
This, and it's great.
I'm trying to find the name of the body book.
It's called The Body. I think it's called The Body. Let me see.
Okay.
I'm
just curious.
Let's see. Kindle. I'll go to my Kindle and see what it's called. I think it's just called Body by The Body. by body. Bill Bryson cover.
Oh, I thought it was by Walter.
By Bill Bryson. And it's a best-selling author of A Short History of Nearly Everything. It's so great. The Body, A Guide for Occupants. Ugh. If you're into, like, you have to be a little bit into science and, like, kind of, like, doctor stuff. Like, it's just fascinating to hear. Like,
9 weeks.
9 weeks to get it?
Yeah, but also, can I put in different libraries? Are you not supposed to do that?
Well, I think it's all LAPD, or LA Public Library.
Oh.
So, since it's LAPD. Digital, it's not, like, your local branch.
Got it. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for the show today. Thanks so much for listening. My book is called 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. It's available in paperback and on the Kindle through Amazon. I just got a whole bunch of these yesterday delivered to my house, the latest version, because I did revise a few things. I told you about this. So it surprised me. They came a week early. So I've got a whole bunch of these. We're going to do a segment on KTLA featuring some of the best features in the new book. I'm going to be promoting it in a couple different places, but it's great. It's ready for the holidays. Super easy gift. Again, it's called 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. You can actually read it for free using Kindle Unlimited. So if you sign up for a free trial of that, you can read my book 100% for free. So if you're thinking about giving it for the holidays, read it yourself for free. Preview every single page, read the whole thing, and then be like, oh, yeah, this is good enough to give to my family. And give it to someone that you love that uses an iPhone, and believe me, they'll thank you for it. You can subscribe to our show if you are listening for the first time. Just all you have to do is press subscribe in your favorite audio app. And if you love the show, please rate and review it. That really goes a long way. Producer Megan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, at Producer Megan.
And she's always tweeting a bunch of good stuff.
I am always tweeting.
Always tweeting. No. You can find me at richontech.tv. I'm on Instagram, at richontech. And that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you real soon.